So welcome to the e-com growth show, where we cut through the chaos of e-com growth and show you how to build a business that scales and supports the life that you actually want. I'm your host, Brittany, former boutique owner turned growth strategist for e-com owners like yourself. And today I'm joined by co-founders of Shopanova and Bloom, Robbie Switzer and Danny Stafford. We created this podcast to pull back the curtain on what's really working to grow Shopify brands to consistent 100K plus months without burnout or guesswork. Whether you're getting traction or scaling fast, this show is designed to help you simplify, focus, and grow with purpose.
So if you're a boutique owner or you're thinking of becoming a boutique owner, or maybe you have a close friend who is a boutique owner, then this podcast episode is specifically for you. We're going to be diving into the real, the good, the ugly, the behind the scenes truth of what it's like actually running and scaling a successful boutique. And that's why we're calling this episode The Secret Life of a Boutique Owner. Hi, my name is Brittany, multi-six-figure former online boutique owner turned into a growth coach and the director of client growth here at Shopanova. And before I jump in to all the things, I want to start with a word of encouragement for whoever is listening. I want you to know, just like with the most abundant clarity, that you're not alone and your feelings are insanely valid. And I can't emphasize this enough, because so many who are listening to this podcast, because I've been there, a lot of us feel alone, we feel isolated in our problems and what we're going to be talking about today. So I just want to emphasize, you're not alone, and whatever you're feeling, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between, you are valid. Okay?
I agree. And there goes our male audience. I'm just kidding. Men have feelings too.
Yeah. If you are a guy, I think men feel the same thing, that being alone in entrepreneurship is not a gender specific. It's part of being a human and the human experience. Whatever you identify as, you're not alone and your feelings are valid. Okay, so a couple different things. I worked with boutique owners doing $5,000 a month and all the way up to $500,000 to $800,000 a month. And guess what? These five secrets of behind the scenes that I'm going to share has been a problem for every single one of my clients I've worked with, and myself included as a former boutique owner. So we're going to dive into what that behind the scenes secret is, what it might look like for you on a day to day, and then some tips and encouragement to help along the way. Okay, so first one is sales insecurity. Even on good months, second guessing yourself. So it could look like something like, I made $10,000 last month, but what if it doesn't happen again? And I've run into this, like I said, with people who are doing $5,000 a month, or they're doing $300,000 a month. Is this sustainable? Can I do it again? So no matter how well they're doing, many boutique owners quietly fear the next month is going to flop. And I just clearly remember the first of every month having this anxiety that just started over and over again, asking myself, will I make it, or will I be able to make my goals this month? And for me personally, when I was doing the most in sales, my anxiety actually grew with that, actually. Yep. So I kind of joke with my clients or other boutique owners, I went from like going from zero to feeling like I was going to be homeless really quick. I had no previous like experience, or being homeless like wasn't actually a viable option, but it was just this anxiety in me that if I didn't perform well or do well, all bets were on me. Mm-hmm. And I had this tremendous amount of fear.
It's so funny because people think like more sales solves all things. And it actually does solve a lot of things. Like, it's very helpful to have more revenue coming through the door. But that sales insecurity, it's so prevalent. And I remember there was a client specifically where it's like, they came into the program, they set their goal for where they wanted to be 6 months from now. 2 months in, they're above and beyond their 6 month goal, just crushing it. Mm-hmm. And they crush it for a couple more months. And they're at levels where it's like, dude, this is better than I even dreamed of. But then sales dip, still above their 6 month goal. and they are panicking. They're like, oh my gosh, like, is this all turning off? Is my business going to go tank? Like, all this stuff. It's like, hold on, zoom out. You're actually still above where you hope to be, you know, a couple months from now. And so that sales insecurity, like, more revenue doesn't always fix that for you.
It won't, Rob. It won't fix it for you. And we see it all at all levels of wealth. It's like people, you know, first they're worried they're not going to have enough. And then once they have enough, they're worried they're going to lose it all. And it doesn't matter, like you said, Brittany, if you're doing $5K a month or $500K a month, the feeling doesn't go away just based on your numbers. So let me just say this. Let me look at you and tell you this. I'm excited to dive into this today.
Yeah. It's so good.
She's like, how do I respond to Dan's energy?
Your podcast energy.
I'm here for all of it, though. But I think something that also really tripped me up starting out in retail, but a lot of our boutique clients too, is that retail ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. Originally, when I thought, I was like, oh, I scaled kind of quickly. So it's like, okay, I did $8,000 a month and then 10 and then 12. And then I would do like 20, 30 and beyond. And then it was like, oh no, I had one lower month and it kind of freaked me out. So one thing too is the ebb and flow of retail. It's supposed to go up and down, but it can make us feel in constant fight or flight, because instead of zooming out and looking at the big picture, we're in the day to day or the week to week or the month over month. And we kind of get stuck in this, well, I can't ever celebrate. I can't ever take a vacation. I can't ever get away, because what if my sales drop? And it just constantly puts you in a survival state is another thing that I've experienced and a lot of boutique owners behind the scenes have experienced. So some tips for this, if this is you and you're listening and you're like, yeah, the secret of having sales insecurity, if I was honest with myself and others, like, I'd be raising my hand right now. Some tips is to celebrate all the wins along the way. Mm. Big and small, to get in that habit is so crucial. I have had women hit, their goal was $100,000 a month, do that within 3 months. And the next month, cry on a call with me, just communicating that, like, how overwhelmed they are and stressed out they are. And I'm like, hey, did you just take a beat? Did you take a second to treat yourself to dinner, or like get your nails done, or go out with your spouse or, you know, significant other? And they're like, no, I just went back into hustle. So it's just so important to celebrate yourself. What you're doing is absolutely tremendous, whether you're going from 5,000 to 6,000 or whether you're just, you know, focusing on getting more email flows created, whatever those things are, just please be sure to celebrate yourself along the way. And that's going to help break this cycle of constantly burning out and hustling.
Yeah. And I like to say it actually trains you for how to get more wins and to have more celebrations. Like, when you're focusing on that and being like, okay, I just had a week, it felt kind of normal, but what were my wins? What do I have to celebrate? You're actually tuning in your internal operation system to like find that and create more of that. Whereas if you're looking for all the failures or all the things you need to fix, like, you're going to find whatever you put your attention toward.
Yeah, for sure. And focusing on like gratitude along the way too, because gratitude is the opposite of fear and anxiety. So whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed or anxious, I pause myself and just say like, hey, like, I actually challenge myself to fill a whole paper up with things I'm grateful for. They could be big or small. Another thing is planning your year accordingly. So just very on a grounded level, looking at your previous year over year to see what your personal trends are. So I don't encourage myself or others to hold themselves to the same level of performance or accountability in like November as I would June or July. Like, your sales are just going to look different, and everyone has their own, like I said, retail ebbs and flows. So everyone's going to have their own highs and their own lows, depending on your location and all these other factors. But when you do have lows, focus on plan, like, use those to your advantage. Plan your vacations, have more family time. If your kids are out of school, spend more time with your kids, work on your email flows, and use those slow months to recharge, to get ahead. and become more prepared for your stronger months. Because it's just a part of the process. So you can either work against that natural flow, or you can work with it and use it to your advantage is a big, big tip. I wish someone would have pulled me aside and said sooner.
Big, big tip. I like that one. No, that's a good one. Gosh, dang it, Brittany. I lost my whole thought on that last line there. But I think...
Do you remember we were once on a podcast called The One Big Tip?
Yeah, that's what...
Major podcast this. You like had us on to our PR person's like, hey, we got a great podcast for you to go on. We're like, okay, what is it?
Yeah, it was a good one.
Too much for good one.
Oh, this is what it is. You know what, too? The slow months actually reveal the fear that's been in you the whole freaking time, too. So that's what's cool is when you experience that, you don't have to run from it. You don't have to medicate it. You don't have to panic in your business and change everything, right? You can be present with it and be like, oh, I'm at a new level of business. I'm having a slower month. This is new to me. I feel a little fear coming up, right? And that can actually help you, help point you towards some of the things that we're talking about of, okay, I'm going to turn away from this and turn towards gratitude, turn towards what I do have, you know, recognize the business I have built over X amount of months, you know, slowly and slowly that fear will get, I don't know if suppressed is the right word, maybe dissolved when you start realizing all that you do have and have built.
I think there's like this switch that happens when you take that mentality that instead of consuming you, you're just an observer of it.
Yes.
Instead of it all around you, you can kind of say like, oh, this is stress. It's in a bottle. I see it. I feel it. I see you. But you become more of an observer versus it overtaking you. If that makes sense.
Which it overtakes you if you try to avoid it.
Yes.
So don't avoid it.
Yeah,
it's a tricky one.
Awesome. Okay, so the second secret I feel like most boutique owners have is inventory regret and decision fatigue. What if I order the wrong thing? How much of it should I order? How many packs should I order? Did I go deep? Should I order plus size or not plus size in this is another one. I remember walking into my first market in Vegas and feeling so ridiculously overwhelmed. And having absolutely no plan of attack other than order a lot of cute clothes was the plan.
Yeah.
And I just remember, you know, one being overwhelmed, but also just like spending way too much. So when I saw my credit card bill after my first market, I was like, oh, okay, now I need to like, what is the plan? Like, I didn't really have a plan. So buying inventory can feel like a gamble, and even seasoned boutique owners can second guess their buys. And we've all experienced it, or we try to like experiment with something new and then it backfires. Yeah, that's a whole other thing I can go on about. I had this like really cute, what was it? Like overcoat. And it was very Britney. It was like very colorful and like very boho. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. And then like, I showed it to my audience. I was like, this is going to sell like hotcakes. And then it just completely flopped. And I was like, okay, guys, cool. But I love it. It's in my closet to this day. But most have racks of unsold product that they've never shown publicly. And there's like this shame and just tremendous amount of pressure of getting it right. Or being wrong, or even like the one, like I said, the overcoat that I picked out that I absolutely loved. Also like taking it personal, like, oh, they don't like the top. And right. It's like, they don't like me too.
Yeah.
Is another kind of problem. So some tips with that, if I was to go back and talk to my previous self back in the day, and some tips I tell our boutique clients is to first and foremost, start small and then scale from there. I typically always advise start with a pack. You can always be creative in selling it quickly if you need to, but definitely start small and scale from there. If I would have ordered 4 packs of that kimono that I was obsessed with, I would have had 4 packs of it flopping versus just one. So start small. And then this is huge. I think where a lot of boutique owners kind of go off course really quickly is not setting monthly budgets for inventory and wholesale, which is like a funny problem because a lot of us got into owning boutiques because we love to shop, but But we need to kind of pause and say, hey, we're not the consumer, we're a business owner now, and kind of switch perspectives to kind of help with setting budgets, because that's crucial.
Is that based on your revenue, or how do you set a budget?
Oh, gosh, that is fun. So it's based on your revenue, but it's also based on the time of year.
Yeah.
There's a couple different things to that. So like right now we're in August, and I'm having conversations with boutique owners who were buying in June and July for quarter four, because that's going to be like their highest, typically your highest amount of sales. And right now they have a little credit card debt. Back in the day, that freaked me out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have like a budget and you can kind of project what your sales are going to be in quarter four and stuff, it didn't freak me out as much, soon as I kind of zoomed out and saw more of a holistic number, because it's like a perfect storm of sales dipping and your orders going up more.
Right.
But being manageable in that, and it kind of varies person to person, but definitely sitting down, working with like a CPA, having a little bit more of a budget is a high recommendation. And then also having a cycle for your inventory. So a lot of times boutique owners get new inventory and they're really excited about it, and then they try to sell it once. And then if you, or especially if you're a brick and mortar, you see that thing every single day, right? So you show it once, you see it every day, and you're like, this is old, it's ghetto, like nobody likes this, they're over it. No, they're not over it, babe. Like, you're the one that's over it because you're seeing it every day. Having some kind of like life cycle for your inventory is another recommendation that I have that's just really practical. So like, hey, I show it once live, and then it goes on my website, then it goes on my app, then I send two emails about it, then I post it on Instagram, then I have it on stories. So there's multiple touch points for multiple customers that can see it. And then you also have a sales cycle. So, hey, this is going to be live for 3 weeks. And then this is my process on how I kind of go through selling it quickly on like the back end. And then the last tip is, don't sit on things for too long, especially when it comes to seasonal flips. So my first August, it was so hot in Pennsylvania. And I was like, surely no one is going to buy sweaters and jeans. That's absolutely ridiculous. It is so hot here. But I didn't understand buying mentalities of my customers yet, that kind of thing switches. So then I sat on all my summer inventory for all fall and winter until I can sell it in the spring again. So don't sit on stuff too long. I think sometimes we can become emotionally attached to the things we buy because we love it, when that's tied up money that we can use to make more money elsewhere.
I got nothing on that, Brittany. That's way over my head.
Big range.
It's these common things that like boutique owners can really struggle with.
It's huge. I mean, I see it happening all the time, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Secret number three. Oh my goodness. Okay, hold on. Secret number three is creative burnout, having creative burnout. So many of us, we're comparing ourselves to others, right? And it's, I should be posting, you know, every single day on Instagram and three stories a day, and I need to go live every single day, and I need to send four emails a week or whatever it is. And instead of committing to what we can do, we kind of are holding ourselves to a standard of what everyone else is telling us we should do. So just like constantly feeling like you're not doing enough, when in reality, a lot of boutique owners are actually doing too much and burning themselves out. So like I said, like, I was going live like three times a day at one point in my business. And I was like, yeah, I just completely burnt myself out doing that. And I could have been focusing on high leverage tasks like email flows to build more income that was a bit more passive and didn't require as much as of my time and energy. And a lot of times we start out because we like, we're creative and we like cute clothes, we like helping people, but content creation can become a chore really quickly and not a creative outlet. So it becomes something we have to do versus something we used to love to do.
Yeah.
And the love for the brand can just also get buried over time with to-dos. So I've had so many conversations with boutique owners, with really successful boutiques, and they're like, this isn't what I like. This isn't the business I signed up for. This isn't the lifestyle I signed up for. So sometimes that can happen as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, too, it's like a professional musician. They have, you know, a small handful of songs that their audience loves, and they have to just play those over and over and over again. And people don't like it when they just start like changing it up, but it's like you get bored saying the same thing over and over again, saying the same value proposition, the same messaging. But it's actually that consistency in your messaging that's going to like keep people coming around. And similar to what you said earlier, like it might feel old to you, but for a lot of people, they're being inspired by it for the first time ever. And so it does just take a certain amount of like resiliency. Like, obviously, find ways to make it fun and keep going. But also, like, you just got to keep doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, Daniel needs really comfy off shred there.
Dude, I could hear that through the wall there, brother. Sorry.
Are you okay? Did you just puke?
No, I sneezed really hard.
Oh, okay. I was like, oof, if you're puking, I can't handle that right now.
No, keep the sneeze. We're good.
Okay, cool. So with creative burnout, some tips if you are in that position for yourself. So first and foremost, put a 2 to 3 hour block in your week for content creation and then batch it so you don't feel like you need to be constantly on all the time. So yeah. A lot of the boutique owners, we don't have to be perfect to show up for our businesses, okay, ladies? But I typically have like a hair and makeup day or days that I would batch going live and content creation. So I wouldn't have to do that chore over and over and over. And then I'd have days that were a little bit more chilled to give myself some space to recharge as well. So that's a recommendation. It's kind of batch that energy, batch that time kind of together. So you don't have to be constantly on. And then my second tip is commit to what you can do versus what others say that you should do. And just honestly stop comparing yourself to every single other boutique on Instagram or on Facebook, because comparison really is the thief of joy.
So good.
Awesome. Okay. So I have two more guys to go through. Is it okay if I go through them real quick? Because we're at 27 minutes.
Let's hit it. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I'm digging it.
The fourth secret is having loneliness in leadership. A lot of us say no one gets what I do or what it's like to be me. Most boutique owners work alone or with really small teams, and it can feel insanely lonely and isolating. So if that's you, I've been there and I see you. And once again, you're not alone. Even your friends and family don't support you, or they might not understand like the emotional or mental or financial pressure that you're under. And a lot of us wouldn't have like a safe space to admit that they're struggling or to celebrate the wins without having to downplay them, which honestly was one of my struggles. Like, as I scaled and grew, I couldn't even really tell my family the success that I was having because I felt uncomfortable even sharing success with my closest friends or relatives. So my biggest tip for this is getting plugged into a community with like-minded people who are driven, that care, and want to join you in the journey. It is so crucial. I'm super biased in this, but I absolutely love the coaching community we built here in Bloom, which is exactly that. And you can come here, find your boutique besties, and scale together. But it's going to be absolutely crucial to your success to find other people, because the power in the two words, me too, is super, super crucial. Just someone else to say like, hey, me too, I'm going through it as well. And let's grow together.
Well, that's so good. I remember too, like Daniel and I, obviously coming out of commercial fishing and construction, you start a digital marketing agency in a small town of Homer, Alaska. Like, there's not anybody else doing that. And so for us, it was so valuable right away to get plugged into a community, both so that we had mentorship, but also just camaraderie. And for me, it was like huge just to hear that like our issues weren't unique to us. Like, I think so many times we'd experience an issue and I would think, gosh, are we the only people dealing with this, or did I do something wrong? And then you hear like, oh yeah, everybody goes through that, and we just had that last month, and here's what we did to fix that. It's like no big deal. It kind of just normalizes the challenges, but also the wins, like you said. It feels strange to go and like celebrate your biggest sales day with somebody who has never like owned a business themselves or whatever. Right. It can just feel a little bit funny. And a lot of times, like, our friend groups are built from people that aren't really running online businesses. So just having that extra, like, obviously your core family and your friends, like, make new friends, but keep the old type of thing. Like, go get other ones too. Doesn't mean you have to like say goodbye to your good close friend or family.
Yeah. It's like surround yourself with people that'll celebrate you, not be jealous of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. There was something that it's like the top, you're within 10% income of like the people you, like the top 10 people you spend the most time with or something like that. But also there's just such a direct correlation between who you surround yourself with and just like the level of success that you have, just because people's mindsets are very different. If you step into entrepreneurism, it is so different than a stereotypical like 9-to-5. And it's not right or wrong either way. It's just different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can just be really challenging for other people to understand the difference in that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's Gandhi said that one, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry, I keep derailing you. Last point here. Let's get it. I'm excited for it.
The last secret is having scaling regret and feeling like I built a business I don't even like anymore.
Yeah.
So one vivid memory I had is there was this boutique owner. She had a very thriving online business. I think she had like 6 or 7 in-person storefronts. So on paper, she looked super successful. But when she came on our coaching call together, she's like, Britt, I'm in a ton of debt. I never see my kids. I'm chronically stressed. I'm not sleeping. And this isn't what I signed up for. And she just was in tears, right? And I'll never forget her, because so many other boutique owners looked at her and was like, that's what I want to be, just given on Instagram, right? But behind the scenes, she kind of felt trapped, and she wanted freedom, but she felt trapped. So a lot of us, when we hit 20 or 50K or even $500,000 a month, you might still feel overworked or disconnected and stuck in this business that's actually running you. A lot of times we're leaving our 9-to-5 jobs for the dream of like freedom and flexibility. And we end up just doing this 24/7 hustle burnout cycle instead. And a lot of times too, when I'm working with boutique owners who are just super burnt out, they'll tell me like, Britt, I had a day the other day and I just wanted to just like burn it all down. Or this month, I'm really second guessing if it's all worth it, right? And those are really real conversations I've had and thoughts I've had back in the day too. And it's normal to have those thoughts. It's perfectly normal to have those thoughts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But some tips around that, if you're running in your business and you're like, oh my gosh, if I was being like super real with myself, would I do this again? Like, do I even like this business? The answer is no. Some tips around that is to create boundaries early and often. It's going to be huge. So that's first and foremost. So create a schedule. Treat yourself like this other day. I was like, there was a client and she was complaining that she was working all the time. And she was like checking her emails as soon as she woke up and all these things. She had to work 8 hours and it was the weekend. And I'm like, wow, your boss sounds like a real big B. And she's like, huh? And I was like, yeah, your boss sounds awful to work for. I was like, you need to find a better boss. Well, she is the boss. I'm like, babe, like, you're the one choosing that for yourself. Create better boundaries, but also be a good boss to yourself. You know, be a good boss to yourself. And then every day is a new day. So please don't burn it down. I've had boutiques in the past that, you know, they've had a month or a week that's been a little rocky or even a season, and they thought it was doom and gloom, but then, you know, it picks up and gets better. So take a breath. And if anything, you typically, if you're having those thoughts, you're probably on the verge of burning out, or you are burnt out.
Yeah.
So take care of yourself, book a vacation, get away from it all temporarily to kind of have a bit of a reset if you can.
Mm-hmm. Dude, we spend so much time on this stuff with our clients because it's like the most important thing. Because if you build a business you hate, then what's the point of it, right? People build a business so they can get more time, you know, that's what they say, more time, more freedom, and more money. when they get more money, but they don't have time or freedom, they're like, this sucks. This isn't what I set out to do. And so I love what you're saying here. It's like so important to set these boundaries early and become the boss that you would want to work for.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
There's so many things that are potentially challenging when you become the owner of a business and you're like running your own business, where it's like you should at least also benefit from the things that are awesome about running your own business. Where it's like, I'm going to be stressed because I'm trying to problem solve for payroll. Like, that's just a reality that I'm going to face at some point in my business. I should at least like give myself some freedom to go take a walk in the middle of the day to clear my head about it, you know? It's like some people, they can't do that if you're working a 9-to-5. So there is going to be challenges that are like, you just have to deal with them. So at least lean into the things that you can have as a business owner. And like Brittany said, just be a good boss to yourself. Give yourself some grace, celebrate yourself, reward yourself, all those things.
And with e-com specifically, it's such a slippery slope because we can be online 24/7 too.
Yeah.
Versus brick and mortars, there's like a certain start and end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the secret life of being a boutique owner. And if it connected with you, I'd love for you to leave comments below. Also, connecting with us on Instagram at Shopanova, where we can connect over there as well. Thanks for tuning in to the Ecom Growth Show, where clarity replaces chaos and strategy fuels freedom. If today's episode sparked any idea or gave you a clear next step, we'd love for you to subscribe, share it with a fellow brand owner, and leave a review so more entrepreneurs can grow with intention, not overwhelm. For more resources and real talk on scaling your Shopify brand the smart way, follow us on Instagram at Shopanova. Until next time, keep growing with purpose.